Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Father, as you have instructed me, so I will instruct your people. I feel led to go in this direction, Lord. Feel more of a freedom to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. I do feel led to go ahead where I was going, although I'm trying to shake the thoughts out of what was said to me, but I'll go where I'm going. We've been talking about, and I'll probably end it this Sunday, but we started it last Sunday, and we were talking about how to handle cares and stress. We're living in very stressful times. How many of you can sense that? And I brought out about six things, and I don't know if any of you remember, but I brought out six things that we have to be careful that when we get under the cares and stress of this life, our minds do not entertain these areas. How many of you can remember them? Can anybody remember them? Number one, you hear a lot of teaching. Matter of fact, this teaching is so predominant to the Christian mind today, the modern Christian mind, about the sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty that they're speaking of is not a healthy sovereignty, because that kind of sovereignty takes it out of your hands and places it in God's, and you have nothing to say about it. That is an unhealthy sovereignty. How many follow what I'm saying? You cannot entertain that kind of thought, because that thought can make you a prisoner of the tests and trials that this life has to offer. The second thing that you've got to be careful of is to understand what you've been predestined for. And when it comes to your personal life, that has not been predestined in God. But there is a part of you that has been, and that's where Christ had predestined you to be conformed into the image of His dear Son. And what you do with it, that's up to you. But God has predestined His will for our life, generally speaking. But personally speaking, the responsibility is up to you to conform to what He predestinated you for, generally. How many understand what I'm talking about? The third thing is God uses evil to train and instruct. He never uses evil to train and instruct anyone. And if you think that this is a frivolous thing to even bring up, I got news for you. You'd be surprised how many Christians believe that. They believe that God will use evil to train and instruct them. I got news for you. I don't need God to do that. I learn automatically on my own. To me, it's a con game for pride. Because a lot of times when I've fallen prey to that which is evil, I find behind it most of the time I'm the problem. Point number four, God allows evil to happen in order to judge the evil in us. You better be careful when you say God allows, because the word allowed is a very interesting word. It literally means He comes into an agreement with the judgment that has fallen. I got news for you. Sometimes judgment that falls on us, true, we can blame ourselves for it, because we got ourselves into the mess. But some of the time, believe it or not, it's flat out the devil. And because people entertain the sovereignty of God, when evil happens to them, it wouldn't happen unless God didn't allow it. But sovereignty of God and that statement right there, they go hand in hand. And that's a lie. Point number five, they use or they interpret the Word of God in teaching grace in a way sin is allowed to have dominion. And six, they use characters in the Bible as an excuse to allow a reason why they have unfavorable circumstances over others. This type of thinking will not win battles. In fact, it is a form of thinking that surrenders before the battle begins. We cannot come up with excuses why we can't win. The armor is our thought identification, and it's a major first line of defense. The armor of God links itself directly to our thinking. Now, we brought out what pressure created in us, and I don't want to go back over that. But there are four major ways that stress comes through. Four major ways. One, circumstances of life. Number two, your past memories. We're dealing on Sunday evening with self-image and how that, if that veils your heart, then Christ cannot change you. Right. Point number three, self-worth, how you value yourself. Point number four, your emotional state, your feelings, whether they are alive or dead. These are the four major areas that cares and stress can come through to undo us. I want you to turn over because I want you to see that it's in the Bible. I want you to see that this is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, this verse is actually in the Bible. I shared this with one person, and he went, "Well, where's that scripture?" I said, "Well, you'll find that it's in your Bible on your shelf there somewhere." Guess what verse I'm going to have you go to? Chapter 10. Verse 13. Yeah, this is in the Bible. There hath no temptation. I think this word temptation, taking you such as is common to man. Yeah, the scripture's here. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, you know what this verse is not saying? He removes you from it. Says he gives you an out that will carry you through that. The word temptation means that which tempts you, tests you, or brings trials. Now, isn't that interesting? He literally gives us a verse. And what was the whole essence of putting that verse right there? Well, he was giving an example about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And everything the Bible talks about wilderness walkers does not apply to us. Matter of fact, everything New Testament tells us not to use that as an excuse for us. He's telling you, don't be like they. Don't be like them. Because God has provided a way. Now listen, did the wilderness walkers escape? Did they escape the wilderness? What did it do to them? It killed them. I'm going to read it to you in the Greek language. Temptation, you have not taken except what is human. But faithful is God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will, with the temptation also, will provide the way out of, so that you may be able to endure it. So when you're under temptation, do you fall apart? Or does it bring you strength and encouragement that you will come out of it because God's already made a way of escape? You see, He shows you your escape route. And if you're in the midst of a temptation, test, or trial, and it's undoing you, it's because you're not seeing that God has provided a way for you out of it. Because, you know, it's a whole lot better to face the cares and stress and the trials and the tests of this life as long as you have light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, sometimes you don't have natural means to help you get out of it. It could go beyond what you're capable of doing. But God is able to provide a way where you can endure and last through this thing. That's the first thing God wants you to do, is be at peace when you're under tests, trials, and cares, and stresses, and temptations. Because all of us are vulnerable to it. But God is concerned about your well-being, at peace while you're in the midst of that thing. Glory to God. Do you believe that? Now, if you believe that, we're going to go somewhere else here, and we're going to take a look at some verses. Yeah, that verse is actually in Scripture. Go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Satan is the god of this world. I don't care how you look at it, he is in control of the system of this world. And his expertise is money. That's why when Christians start picking money as their ministry or their goal, they better make sure they know the whole Word of God before they touch that, because you're dealing with his sharpness. That's what caused him to fall. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In the Greek it has different wording. It says, lest we should drift away. Drift away. This word drift away is very interesting. It's referring to a boat that has gone up to shore and not anchored properly. And as a result of that, the current of the water will slowly cause it to drift away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now what in the world is verse 2 referring to? He is speaking of something that took place in the Old Testament. Whenever God wanted to communicate with the nation of Israel, whether it was a direct leader or the whole nation, He would have an angel bring word. And you know what? When that angel spoke, you obeyed. If you didn't obey, you know what happened? It had a reward that went with it. It had a payment that went with it. For an example, when the nation of Israel, before it even got to Jericho, an angel had given instruction to the leaders that all the wealth of that city was carom unto the Lord. That word carom literally meant a net that was thrown over that wealth that was wholly devoted unto the Lord. And did you know that was the first commandment that came forth after the manna in the wilderness ceased? And the first fruits of the wealth of that land belonged to the Lord. And guess what? When a family touched it, it affected the whole nation. They got into a test and a trial they didn't know how to get out of. Matter of fact, that little city that they called Ai, we'll just send down my personal guard and wipe them out. Out of 5 years of campaign, they lost 39 men and it was out of that quarry. Out of 5 years campaigning, every battle they won, they didn't cost lives but that one. And that was the least thought of losing any life. The least one. Why? Well, it's kind of like your flesh. You and I will fight the devil tooth and nail. But when it comes to our flesh, we don't think really we have a problem with it. You know what Ai means? Means heap of ruin. That's all your flesh is, a heap of ruin. But yet we take care of it so well. Even to the point where we don't care what God says. We won't take care of flesh. Well, that's where you're going to lose your battles. Right now. Now, notice what he said. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgressor and disobedient received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Notice this. If we neglect. In the Greek, it is not translated with option. You will not escape, because in the Greek it says, how shall we escape? Neglecting. This word neglecting, it means do not care for or show concern for, in this case, the word of God that was spoken. Now notice this. Having received a beginning, a great salvation, which was to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. That's why Paul was the writer of Hebrews. He listed himself not of the original 12. That is his normal way of saying something. Now notice he said the Lord began to speak in the beginning. That was not Genesis, when he first appeared as Christ. He began to speak the kingdom of God, present tense. Are you following me? But notice what he said very clearly. He said that we should not neglect this salvation, because this salvation came from the lips of Jesus Christ himself, not an angel. Amen. Not an angel. Means it has greater importance. No. It means it has the same effect. Why? Because sometimes Christ himself would appear as an angel and then let loose of that image. Are you following me? But when he took on the seed of Abraham, it said he never let loose of it. And that seed that he had inherited, that body form, is now resurrected in a glorified being. In heaven, he never let it go. He put man back in the same position that man was in before the fall. And not an angel. Not an angel. Not an angel.
Now, if you neglect the Word of God when you get under a care or a stress or a trial, what in the world are you going to do when Jesus Himself gave you the New Testament gospel by which you are to live by and you are to rhema, you're to speak it out? Who's going to help you if you don't do something about it? You know, a lot of us don't have any idea how much our emotions get into something. But your emotions can get into everything that you are if you're not careful. And rob you of your ability, of position that God has given you to speak the Word of God and let it do something on your behalf. Now I'm going to tell you something. We always look at the message of faith from one direction and one direction only. So we get into our closet and we're in the midst of a test and a trial and the cares are on us and everything. And all of a sudden, we're looking at, do I have enough faith to get out of this? And God's Word does not teach us where to have that kind of faith. He teaches us that we have to have the faith that grows in us. And comes to a place of maturity in us. Why? Because whatever He bursts in us, that is our faith that has the victory to overcome the world with. Amen. Glory to God. Many of you are neglecting your gospel. You're not reading, you're not praying, you're not seeking the Lord like you ought to. And then you come on to church and say, "Help!" Many of you got to be careful you do not become spiritually dysfunctional. Whatever you sow to that, you will reap. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to get flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you'll get life everlasting. Some believers just don't know how to connect with the Word of God. They do not think that the Word is critical in your life. The Word is so critical, you can't let one week go by not to be influenced by it. I don't care if you've heard it time and time again. Every week God provides a message from this pulpit to get you back on the cutting edge to do something that God has given you. Submission to His dominion, present tense. How are we going to escape if we neglect? Don't ask me how you're going to escape. You know what I ought to do? I ought to quit babying some of you. Always coming to me, "Pastor, what do I do?" Well, you're just getting the same measure you're putting forth with. Stop it. You'll come out of it. What do you want me to do? Go fight your battles for you? I'm fighting your battles for you right now. What? I'm giving you a rhema. So you can take that rhema and use it in your life. But if you flat dead and not uninterested in the things of God, well then put Him in the background. And when you get the devil on your back, que sera, sera. You know what? You know what I take of Christians that neglect the Word of God? You have confidence the devil's not going to touch you. That's why I say you have more faith in the devil leaving you alone than you do God providing a way of an escape for you. See, I knew when God spoke to me and got on my case. I was working on this message. Lord, I cannot do that. I'm doing that, and forgive me. Forgive me. Would you forgive me? I mean, I'm sorry, Lord. Turn over to Mark 4. Yeah, the Lord says, yeah, you better do that. Boy, He loves you people, man, I tell you. Man, He'll go to great lengths to be careful for you. Mark 4. We've been here so many times. But you know, if you want to know why
There are tests and trials ahead of you. If you have this sovereignty of God thinking in you, get rid of it. Because the first thing that God wants you to know when you come into a test or trial is when you heard the Word of God. You know, when I started hearing the Word of God, I didn't have a problem being a Christian. But when I started hearing the Word of God, all hell broke loose. Ask my wife. I made this statement out of my own head. I made this statement. Gee, I'd have been better off not even becoming a Christian, go through all this mess. Now, none of us here have ever thought that way. Sue and I got to the point one day, we sat there together and we just said, how come everything in the kingdom of God is no, 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 you can't do this, you can't do that, can't do this, can't do that, no, no, no. Because when you have made Jesus, quote, the Lord of your life, if that's the case, some Christians have made Him their Savior. Not Lord. Savior. And if God isn't doing His things the way He should do it, they get an attitude. Well, that's part of that sovereignty thinking. Because when you got the right thinking going on the inside of you, you're going to realize something. Do you know what? In Hebrews chapter 2, you know what it goes on and says? It says Jesus didn't speak His kingdom so that He could give it to an angel. No, He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He says, the reason that He gave His word is because He Himself put the authority back in the hands of man to rule over this world presently that we're in. Not an angel. So if the word spoken by us doesn't do something, who's going to get done? Oh, we're going to come up with this thought. Well, you know, it wouldn't have happened to me if it hadn't been God. Remember what I said about this stuff. If you have a behavior that led you in to your problems and you think you can talk yourself out of them, you're what you call super self, stupid, deceived. And there are Christians who are out of fellowship with God, and yet they are called Christians, that have this attitude, the devil is going to leave them alone. Yeah, I'm saying Christians out of fellowship with God, they have faith that the devil will not touch them. Since when has anybody ever really thought that if you've heard the good word of God and you back off, Satan's going to go, oh, wow, they backed off the word. Let's leave them alone now. Now, he'll move back in your life and take you out. Physically, if he can't steal your witness, he'll get you in your flesh. He'll go and find a way to get to you. Why? He don't want the word of God to grow in you. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan runs away immediately because of the word. I have the translation of a lot of Christians, not the Bible. It says that when the word is sown, it says Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, how does he do this? Well, let's read on. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and because it has no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, notice this, for the word's sake. Immediately, notice this, they are offended. How in the world can you be offended by the Word of God? Here's how you can be offended by the Word of God. When you've heard the Word of God, and Satan comes at you,
Are you ready? But you've heard the word of God. It says you even received it. But notice this. What does it say? Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They even agreed with it. But notice this. And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately, they are offended. Do you know what was said there? You and I can come. We can hear the word, receive it, and say, "Woo, goody, goody, goody." But we seem to forget we have an adversary that's like a vulture, waiting for flesh to die. In this case, waiting for spirituality, having no authority, so he can ravish them through their flesh. How? Well, they received the word, they heard it, received it with gladness, agreed with it, got all. Satan says, I know how they heard the word. I know how they heard it. So therefore, I can bring affliction and persecution because it will bring an offense to them. Do you know what? Just because you know something don't mean a hill of beans to the devil. Why? First of all, he can figure out how you're listening to the word. You know what? I don't even have to be the devil. And all I have to do is look at your life and tell whether the word of God is rich in you or not.
Right.
Why? Because of your interest for the word. Mm-hmm. If you'd have this neglectful attitude when it comes to listening to the word of God, hey, that's a good sign for me. I know how to get this cat out of its little box. I'll bring an affliction or persecution so that he will question why the word ain't working. Well, if God wasn't really against you, it would work for you. Guess what? God did all he's going to do for you.
Amen.
In Christ. Done deal.
Yes.
Guess who has to work it? You. Not God. God's already paid the price. He's already did everything. Well, you don't understand. What, do you feel a little condemned? Yes. It won't work for you. Why? Because the Word of God has to be alive in you. You have to have confidence in it. You know what the Bible says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any other? You know what the Word of God is living? You guys ready? You know what living is? It means it's alive. It means it has life. Guess what? Tell me, look at your Bible. Look at it. Is your Bible speaking to you? Does it have life in it? Really? I never walked into my office and my Bible talked to me. It never did say good morning to me. No, why? It's just dead letter. It's pages. It's ink on pages. Ink. It don't have any life in its substance. Why? Because the only way that thing comes alive, it goes from what has no life to that where it meets for life. That Bible can tell you anything it wants to. But when you apply your heart to that word, comes life. Some of you take prescriptions. You ought to take the word of God like you do a prescription. They tell you how to do it, and you hope to have brains enough to do it. Right? Or else a prescription does you no good. Same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God tells you how to act on it. How to do it. Not to hear it only, but how to do it. How to perform it. Why? Because God wants you in peace. And He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Don't give God vacations on His behalf. You know why? God don't mind you taking a break. The devil loves it. And I'll tell you what, you stay away from God long enough and He'll walk you right back into your flesh. Now notice this. Here's something that's very interesting. Satan has got to see something in somebody for it to become identified as stony ground. I like this one. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now, most believers think the thorns come from the devil. Well, you know, Lord of God, I had this statement made to me. Well, you know, the Word of God, He knows how to put them thorns there to choke the Word right out of me. When I heard that, I just said, what? Oh, the devil, man, he knows how to bring them thorns. Devil don't bring no thorns. You know what the devil does? He capitalizes on the thorns that's in us. The thorns are in us. They're not something the devil brings up. They're in us. You know what can remove the life of the Word of God? Cares of this world. The pressures and the cares and the strife and the twisting and all that garbage this world has to offer. Guess what? If that thorn is in you, you're vulnerable to Him. Oh, here's another one. This is a good one. Deceitfulness of riches. If money is an issue in your heart, let somebody touch your money the wrong way. You'll find out what thorn's in you. Lusts of other things. Surely the devil's going to tempt me with other things. He said the lusts of other things. You know what? Other things mean something outside of the Word of God. It's in you. Every one of us have this potential in us. We think the devil brings it. The devil capitalizes on what's in you. I like this one. It enters in and chokes the Word. And the Word becomes unfruitful. And yet, Satan's got to see something in you so that he can get you offended at the Word so that it won't bear fruit in you. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We're going to stop right there. But there was the little key word here is received. How do some receive the word? I'll tell you how some receive the word. I gotta go to church. You have to sit in that service again. Don't do me any good. I know what he's going to say before he says it. I heard this story before. Oh gosh, when will he ever get on another subject? You know where I got all that? Me. You know, I got you, but you got to remember, I'm also where you're at in other services. But you know, when you really pay attention to the Word, when you're like this poster of a cat hanging on a piece of bamboo, hang in there, baby. But all of a sudden, you listen to the Word of God. Why? Because you got to make sure you got enough faith to get out of this one. God never intended for the Word of God to not build a lifestyle in you that's called faith. Your neglect of the Word of God isn't going to help you at all when it comes to a real crisis, because the enemy is going to see to it that he ain't going to take you out. That's why it says even children needs to obey their parents. Why? Because one of the first promises for children is long life. How many of you lost kids before their time? It's because they've lose that first promise of long life. The devil going to take your kids out. Why? Try to get to you. He said unto them, is a candle brought? What is a candle? Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is a candle, O Lord, lighting all the inward parts of his belly. The spirit of the righteous grows and burns brighter and brighter and brighter. But the way of the wickedness grows as darkness. And yes, you need church every day, every week. Why? That is your influence. I don't care how many times you hear it, it still is your influence. I have certain meetings I got to go to. It is a time of my refreshing. It is a time that builds me up. Certain ministers, I have to hear their word. I have to feed on it. It builds me up. Are you following me? I have to have that personal time set aside with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Why? It builds me up. It puts me in a position to grow spiritually so that my faith will be there for me when this world comes against me. Then I know my faith will bring me the victory over this world, not question God. I'll tell you, when you break fellowship with the Lord, you're stupid. Because the devil don't break fellowship with you. Now in closing, turn over to 1 John 5. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves Him that begot, or that is begotten of Him, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. In other words, if you're born of God and you love God, you'll also love those that are born of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Why? Because one of us cannot exist without the other. Now notice this. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. What is the mind of this book? That our koinonia, our fellowship, will be completely full if we follow the instruction of this book. Now, some Christians can live without the elbows of other believers. I can't live that way. And there are a lot of Christians that are not attending church. They say that TV is their church. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that are said on that TV I wouldn't give you a nickel for. Now, notice this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. If you got even in there, scratch it out. It's our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, and you ought to have a capital S on that, because it's referring to the Holy Ghost here. And it is the Holy Spirit that beareth witness. Romans 8, what does it say? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Because the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is truth. Now, if you will jump down to verse 8. Forget verse 7, it's never there. It's never been there. Verse 8. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, the water, birth canal, and the blood, the life. and the tree are in the one. If we receive the witness of a man, the witness is God is greater. For this is the witness of God, because He has borne witness concerning the Son of Him. Now why would the writer even bring that up? Because he's saying, whatever God is able to birth in our spirit. Are you following me? That is where we get the victory to overcome this world with. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives the revelation or births in us the ability to overcome the world with. But we've got to realize the Holy Spirit, if He conceived in the womb of Mary, the birth canal, then what more person would you turn to know about Jesus Christ and anything that He births in you? Because He was the one that birthed Christ in the womb of Mary. So if you have the witness of any man and not the witness of God, you're in trouble. He's concluding this book. Why? Because in the whole book He tells you how to stay on track with God and track with your brothers and sisters. Why? Because in your fellowship, He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He's the one that keeps you on track. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you, not the outside of you. On the inside of you. He speaks in your conscience. He don't speak in your carnal mind. He speaks on your inner man. And you know how He speaks to you? He comes through first place. Anytime you got a voice coming to you where you put God in the background, I guarantee you that is not the voice of the Holy Ghost. But when you keep God first place in your life, then He will come through that voice. Because you've got Him first place. Not leftovers. I'm telling how to get out of a test or trial or temptation. Stay out of your flesh. It has no regard for God nor man. Now notice this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now how do you make God a liar? Because if He is your primary inner witness and you don't go by it, then you're calling Him a liar. Because your life is emanating something else other than what He would have you to do. And in the midst of a test or trial, you know what God wants? He wants to be first place in that mess. Why? He hates the devil just as much as you. He hates you going through what you're going through just as much as you do. And He wants you out of that mess just as quick as you want out. Now this is what really gets me. I like this. Verse 16. If we say a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he will give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Now, this is an important passage here for you to understand. Notice this. If any man see a brother sin, a sin which is not unto death. What in the world is not unto death? What is that? There is a sin unto death. I say, don't be concerned about that as much as a believer who's sinning a sin, not unto death. You know, in the Greek, it's real interesting. This is continuous action. You mean a brother continually missing the mark? Yeah. Guess what? Evidently, there are Christians who continually miss the mark. And God says, pray for them. Because you know what He did before He got these verses? He talked about prayer. Ask and believe that you receive and you shall have what? Prayer over a Christian who's sinning a sin not unto death. What is a Christian sinning a sin unto death? It's a Christian missing a mark with God, but he's still teachable. Prayer will still work in his for his conscience. Why? Because you can pray and sick God on his conscience and get him turned around. What about the brother who's sending a sin unto death? It means one who has taken their mindset and put it down, and his conscience is closed off from God. You can't pray for him. Why? Because God is telling us that the Holy Spirit, which is his inner witness, is shut down from him. You can't help him. Because if you're praying for him, God will tell you, quit praying for him. He won't listen. But pray for those who will listen to me. Isn't that funny? God wants you to pray for somebody that's missing a mark with him so that he will go and do it. Why? Because all authority has been given to men to exercise it therein.
God's sovereign, you know.
I don't know how you even survive that way. If I'm not on purpose for where my Lord positions me in a test and trial, I'm in trouble, bub. So what is he saying here? Saying the whole world lies in the wicked one. There are Christians who literally step outside of God's ability to work on their conscience to straighten them out and keep him first place. You know what they do? They end up right in the wicked domain of Satan. And how did they get here? Satan put handles. He could grab a hold of handles that are on them. You know what Jesus said? Satan has nothing in me. That's why Satan couldn't do anything with him. But there are Christians who literally violate their God consciousness in them, take God, stuff them out in background, and goes for the cares of this world, puts everything first, get into a test and trial and fall apart like a cheap watch because God didn't keep his word. Oh, they're offended for the word's sake. Oh, whoa, whoa. So what are we going to do about that? You're in harm's way, buddy. Go for it. And I got news for you. God will allow the enemy to take it. No, you're the baby who's allowed the enemy to get into. You got into his way there, brothers and sisters. And if you get in his way, he'll take you out. If he can't take you out spiritually, he'll take you out physically. He just wants to show the world the word doesn't work for a believer. And I guarantee you, every one of us in this building right now, right where you're sitting, I'm going to bring it right down home to you. Every one of you are going to get your opportunity without God's help to exercise where your faith is at. Isn't that good news? Well, thank God I can have faith in my faith. Why? Well, Jesus ain't going to come down from heaven. And guess what? I ain't going to finish and complete salvation. I just bring Christ up from above. So what do I got? The word is nigh thee, even in the heart and in your mouth. The rhema which we speak. There's your sword. How do we approach the devil? Our mind is girded up by the Word of God, our thoughts. And when we approach Him, we pull our sword out. Right. And what does He do?
Ah, sheik! Ah, sheik! Ah, sheik! Ah, sheik!
And we quench all His fiery darts. Some of us got our house on fire. Oh, my house is burning to the ground. God, where are you? I like what Casey Treat says. If you're wondering where God's at, midst of a test and trial, look inside. He says, because the only way God's going to fail is He has to fail in you. Oh, I can't understand why I can't put my feet on solid dock.
Because your boat is afloat down the river.
Stand up, everybody. Did anybody else hear that in English?
No.
Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, this morning, you know what? I'm not going to give an altar call to this because I feel an urge to me as my spirit. I don't know what it is. But many of you are where you should not be with the Lord. And I don't want to give an altar call and just have a few come up here. Because I want all of us as believers together to indict ourselves to be in a better place than where we're at with the Lord. Is that all right with you? I think this is very important. I've already preached the word. Now you have to deal with it. So do I have to deal with it. And so if you know you're not in that favorable provision with God, this morning, make a commitment to Him. It's by choice that we change and go in the other direction. It is not by feelings. It's not by right circumstances. All of that is a bunch of junk. It's just by making a quality decision to choose to go in the right direction and stay in it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want the enemy to take any more of you out. I want you to be solid and strong and firm in Him. I want the Word of God to take root in you so that you're steadfast and unmovable.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I want you to repeat with me. Dear Father, I surrender my inconsistency. I want to be on track. I want to be on purpose. I want to have a good direction. I want to succeed as a believer before this world. Father, your wisdom will come to me this day. I receive it. I will walk in it. I'll take my authority that has been given me. I don't care what the devil says. My righteousness came through the Son. I made a mistake. It's not corrected before God. The devil has no part in it. Now I'm going forward. I'm going to succeed. In Jesus' name. Oh, amen. 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 I've seen it coming on people. I've seen it coming on a brother that was here. Wonderful family. Got the point, he wouldn't even come to the service. He sat out in the car. And I went out one day and I was going to talk to him. And he kept backing away from me, 5 feet away, and he wouldn't look at me. And I tried to get up close, and then I began to sense an unclean spirit about him. I knew I was going to lose this brother because he had something that wasn't kosher in his life. I'm going to tell you, people, the devil's main goal is to isolate you from your loved ones, and then start picking on your brain till he's got you. Don't let that happen to you. Do you hear me? Don't let it happen to you. Stay in that place God wants you to be. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, this morning as we now prepare to dismiss this service, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, we want to make that available right now before we dismiss people. Father, I'm not going to talk about those who have been out of fellowship because we took care of that right now as a whole, all of us. But Father, if they've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want them to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Father, if they're struggling with physical things in their body, we want to pray for them for healing. Even for their mind, we want to pray for it. And so with that said, if you're here this morning, we have altar ministers that want to minister to you. So when we dismiss those of you that need salvation, those of you that need prayer for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, prayer for your physical body, I want you to come up and let us pray for you. And with that said, you're dismissed. Hallelujah.